Are you asking every one of your clients for a referral? Their answer was no. And George, when I ask that question to clients today, the answer is still no.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Joanne Black. Here's three facts I believe you should know about Joanne. She is a contrarian, and that means that she challenges conventional thinking and understanding, and she understands that if we keep doing things the way we've been doing them, we'll become obsolete. Second fact, she is known as America's leading authority on referral selling. After working with sales leaders and their teams for more than 20 years, she knows what works and what doesn't work. She's apparently a nice person, but she won't BS you or put up with it. She'll tell you like it is. And the third fact about Joanne is that she doesn't believe that anyone, including you, should ever have to cold call it or engage in a cold outreach again, cold by email, social media, or knocking on doors, which I remember doing when I was a kid doing fundraising, knocking on doors in the neighborhood. And that was tough. Here's a fourth bonus fact about Joanne. She was raised in Philadelphia. Her family moved to Southern California when she was in high school, and then she went to the San Francisco Bay Area for college, and she stayed. And we'll have to find out, did she stay because she hasn't finished college? She's still working on her college, or she just loved it there. Joanne, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Oh, welcome is right. That is the best intro I've ever had, George.
That's wonderful to hear, because I have fun doing that, and I like hearing those three key points that make you a little bit more interesting. Now, I assume, by the way, you did finish college, right?
Yes, I did. However, I like what you said, because I learn every day. I think we all should, because I figure if I'm not learning, I'm dead, and I prefer the former. So learning is very important to me, no matter what subject.
Good. Well, then today we are here to learn from you about how we can avoid that cold calling and make better use of referrals to build our career, build our business, maybe build our social network. So we're here to learn at your feet, the master of referral selling. Joanne, your first referral, did that come as a gift from someone? And then you said, you know, I like how this worked. I got to keep doing it. Was it, or did you just sit down one day and say, damn, this cold calling, there's got to be a better way? How did you get into referrals?
Well, it was probably a little bit of both. But the way I got into referrals professionally was I worked for two consulting and training firms. And when I left the last one, I decided to start my own business. I was working with a management team of an outsourcing firm on their sales and marketing strategy. And serendipitously, they were doing a customer satisfaction survey at the same time of 50 of their best clients. Well, it was several rounds back and forth. And for some reason, I added a question on the last round. Would you be willing to be a referral to this company? It was a 7-point scale, 7 was high. Came back 6.5. Yes, I was shocked as well. I went back in my next meeting with the management team and I shared the results and I said, are you asking every one of your clients for a referral? Their answer was no. And George, when I ask that question to clients today, the answer is still no. But that's how I started. And then I realized that in my sales career, my best business had come from referrals. Now, I do feet on the street research, which means I talk to people and I talk to salespeople and sales execs I knew and ask them if they like to get referrals. Well, that may seem like a dumb question, but I needed to hear it from them. And they tell me what everybody knows. You know, we get the introduction in one call, we're pre-sold, we have credibility, there's no cost, and the conversion rate soars. So I said, well, that's great. Now, what about this? Do you have a referral system, methodology, with a written strategy, metrics, skills, and accountability for results? So guess what the answer to that was?
Probably no.
It was no, and it's no again today. And so on the one hand, everybody loves referrals and we just love receiving them, but it's not an outbound, proactive, intentional approach. And so what I did is I said, what do I need to do to close that gap and make referrals not only common sense, but common practice?
And what do you
need
to do?
And I developed a very straightforward system to make it happen because I'm a salesperson. I don't like complicated. So it's simple. It's not easy because if it were, everyone would be doing it. And referrals are our biggest competitive differentiator. Because when we're introduced, we get in. We get in early. We have time to build relationships and make connections. We get the inside track and we hear things no one else does. That's the power of referral selling.
Joanne, there's no question that I like referrals, and but there's probably many people as I have made the sin, like I have, of figuring, well, we'll just hope. We'll hope we get some more. That would be nice. But what if they don't come? We don't get them.
So what if someone would say no when they're asked? Is that something that gets in the way? Yeah, sometimes. Well, I think it is for a lot of people. So first of all, waiting for referrals to come in is not what salespeople do. Top salespeople don't wait. We don't wait from leads for marketing. We don't wait for leads from our website. We don't wait for leads from our SDRs. We don't wait for leads. That's not why we're hired. So that doesn't make sense. I'm sitting back and waiting because we wouldn't have a job if we did that. What needs to happen then is an outbound approach. So we proactively have a system to ask for referrals specifically from our clients. And that's not just one person. That's everyone we've come in contact with during the buying process. And nobody's asking. Now, part of that reason is how many companies are organized. And account executives have said to me, well, I'm incented for getting new logos. Well, they close a deal, they hand it off to customer success, and then they go scramble and find something else. Well, they could have gotten introductions to those new logos if they'd asked their current buyers. And so that's the kind of thing that happened. But you also touched on a point that's very important. When people are telling the truth, they will say they're not comfortable asking for referrals. It feels awkward. It feels desperate. That's a word that's been used more and more, desperate. Now think about it this way. If I were really successful, why would I have to ask? You know, so the perception is if I have to ask, I must not be doing so well. And that's how it also feels arrogant and pushy and like a used car salesman and all of this. And absolutely all of that is true. Because we have this model on of our head of the used car salesman and being pushy, and we're not that kind of person. And we actually put our reputation on the line when we ask, don't we? That we put our trust in someone else that they're going to introduce us. And that's my definition of a referral. We get an introduction. Well, what if they say no? You know, that's the first thing that pops, right? And so we're then thinking, what did I say? Why don't they like me? Did I part my hair the wrong way? Whatever it is. You know, so we don't ask, or we ask in this way. And I don't want anybody to ask like this anymore. If you know anyone who could benefit from my services, please let them know.
That's the wrong way to ask.
Well, yes, you know, because we're so afraid of asking. And the answer to that is typically no. So then we checked it off our list. Yeah, I asked and it didn't work.
Because we asked poorly.
That's correct.
That question actually when I hear you say it, that asking that way actually sounds like the person really doesn't want a referral, and it feels vague.
It is vague. If you ask that question of me, how would I know who you want to meet? I have no clue. And you've left it wide open. So I don't have any point of reference for referring you. None at all. That doesn't work.
So what would be a better way of phrasing it? Give us an example of a request for referral that would work much better.
I love W words. Who, what, where, why, when. And so the question begins with who. Who are one or two people in your network you can introduce me to? There's some key points in that question. Before I ask that question, I've had a conversation with a person describing my ideal client, exactly the person I want to meet. And I've also shared the business reason for the referral. You know, people will refer you and introduce you because they like you and trust you. But the other person is not going to take the meeting because you're a nice person. They'll take the meeting because there's a valid business reason. So prior to that ask, I've communicated both the business reason and the person I want to meet. So when then I say who in your network, they already know my profile. They already know the impact my work makes on companies. And so they are prepared to answer that question. And that is a question. Any W questions, a person can't say no. But here's what typically happens. Well, is there anyone you know I should meet? No. I go through this all the time with clients, George. You know, we learn the right way and we all fall back into the way we used to do things. But when we role play and practice and they ask questions like that, I say no. And then there's this dead silence. So I don't think they expect that answer. Now, sometimes we may want a no. It happens. I'd rather have a yes than a no. But I'd rather have a no than a maybe, because I know how to spend my time. Therefore, I don't ask a question if I want a referral where somebody could say no.
And therefore, a better way to ask the question would be?
Who are one or two people you know I should meet? Or who are one or two people in your network you can introduce me to? So you can't say no to that question. It's a powerful question.
Who are, and I'm going to repeat it for the audience, just to, because I think that's worth reinforcing. Who are one or two people that you could introduce me to? Or who are one or two people in your network that you could connect me with?
Yes, and the reason I say in your network is we need to expand their thinking of if we know something about them, if they're active philanthropically, if they play golf with their buddies, their friends, if they're a tennis player, whatever, the network is not just your professional network. It's so many people they know. And that's why I say in your network, if we know something about them, then I would say, you know, in your community, because I know they're active in their community, or I mentioned certain specifics. So they're thinking outside of somebody in their company or somebody that is like a best buddy.
And should we ask for referrals from our clients? And I think the answer is yes, but should we also ask for referrals from people who are not clients, who are simply colleagues, associates, someone we just met?
Yes, and no to the last one, someone we've just met, because we have to earn the right to ask. Remember that when people refer us, it's risky for them. They have to know that we'll take care of their contact as they would. That's the trust piece. So when you just meet someone, no, it's not going to happen. You have to earn the right. To answer your other questions, yes, there's so many people who could be asking for referrals. However, the biggest gap is with our clients because no one is asking. And George, I have spoken to many groups and I'll ask, please stand. Well, that was when we got together in person. Please stand if you've asked every one of your buyers you've come in contact with during your sales process for a referral. No one stands. And then I'll ask, well, how many of you have asked a few? And then maybe about 8% of the room will stand. So the fact is, it's not happening. Executives I meet with, CROs, sales leaders, today, everybody is doing something about referrals. And they'll say to me, well, we're doing a pretty good job of referrals. And then I'll say, what about your current clients? And the answer always is, we could do a better job of that. In fact, I was speaking to a CRO that I hadn't seen in a while, but he knew me and knew what I did. So we got on the phone and the first thing he said was, Joanne, 30% of my business has come through referrals. I said, that's fantastic. How did that happen? He said, well, a client will call us and want us to come in and do more with them, or they'll tell other people to contact us. I paused and then I asked this question. What about your account executives? Are they asking? He paused and said, oh my gosh, no. Think what would happen. We need to bring you in. It was that kind of thing. And everybody I talked to, it's the same thing. I've worked with 3 clients just in the last half of the year, and that was the big issue. Nobody's asking their clients. We start there because that's where they know us. Our clients love us. They trust us. They've done business with us. They know what we do. They know the impact we made on their business. They know we solved a huge problem for them. So they are glad to refer us. However, typically they're not going to call you and say, hey, I have someone I want you to meet. You know, they're busy. They have their business to run. And the other thing is, they don't always know we need more business. That really seems like dumb, but I have been asked that, George. I've been asked, Joanne, do you need more clients? And I take a breath and I say, yes, I can always use 1 or 2 more great clients. So you have to diffuse what they may be thinking. If they refer you, are you going to have time for them? So you only want 1, maybe 2. That's it.
Joanne, when you work with salespeople and you're teaching, training, coaching them to ask for referrals, what's the first hurdle they need to get over?
It's the ask, really. And that's why we practice. So they learn the process. And then here's the tough part. Their assignment is to practice with two people they know really well. And the best is if they don't know much of anything about your business. You know, if you can explain what you do, not from the perspective of what you do, but from what the client gets, and describe the problem, and people understand that, you can describe that to anyone. So they do that with two people. They come back, because we don't want to practice on our clients. See, the rule is when they practice, no one in your household, no one in your company, and no clients. Well, why the former? Because typically you don't get the feedback you want from your household or your company. And therefore, it could be a next door neighbor, a colleague, it could be anywhere in the world, because you're going to do this today, we're going to do it virtually. And so that's what they do. When they come back and they say, it felt awkward. Aren't we going to do this with clients? Why am I practicing with people who aren't clients? Well, it's pretty obvious that you don't want to practice with clients. But if you get your message across with someone who doesn't know your business, you're home. And that's how they get past the awkwardness. They feel it's uncomfortable. And the next time they do it, it's more comfortable. It's like any skill, George, right? That we practice. You know, I say sometimes, what if somebody handed you a tennis racket, put you on a tennis court and didn't tell you anything else? You know, how would you perform? With any skill, it takes practice, 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 practice. And they have a script. They'll make it not sound like a script as they get better. But it's like this, people who have been musicians or tried to be when they were kids. You had your music in front of you, right? You weren't expected to sit down and play a piece of music. So it's fine. It's fine to do that. That's how we learn. Does that help?
So I'm hearing one of the lessons is that one needs to be specific in terms of who you're asking to meet, and the person you're asking needs to be clear on the benefit that you're offering. And that way, the person you're asking can think about, oh, I know this person that has this problem that you can help them with. We need to help put that picture in their head. Do I have that right?
I love you use the term picture, because that's exactly what I say, that with your words, I need to actually see a picture of the problem, because that's what we describe. It's not, if you know anybody could benefit from my services, it's, let me tell you about a client came to us with X problem. And that's where you connect with people, with the problem. And then you tell them the business impact of working together. You don't talk about yourself, because nobody cares about us. And that's what you do, you give a client example. And that's how you connect with people, so they can actually picture the problem and picture who you want to meet.
Now, if we're asking an existing client for a referral, if I'm asking an existing client for a referral, at what point should I do that?
The obvious point is when you've signed a contract. Now, many people will say, oh no, I can't do that because we haven't implemented. And why would they refer me? Well, they will refer you because they trusted you enough to enter into a contract with you. But that reminds me, I just did sign a contract. I've got to go back and ask. But you signed the contract. Great. Okay, then you say, well, I don't think I can do it then. And then you say, well, I need to wait till we implement. No, now I need to wait till they get results from what we did. Well, now you're so far away from your buyer. It's just too late.
And how many times should we ask the client throughout the relationship we have with? So we sign a contract, perhaps we ask them then, they might give us a referral, or they can't think of somebody at that time. How many times throughout our relationship with that client should we ask?
Well, I'm going to say it depends. Now, if I asked you, George, and you introduced me to someone I wanted to meet, I'm going to get back to you and tell you that that was a perfect referral. And what happened? I'm not going to say the dollar amount or anything like that, but I will describe the client. And then you will know then that you made the perfect referral. People want to put good people together. You will think of others, I am sure, because now you know. How frequently? Well, I wouldn't go back that frequently. You know, maybe you wait 6 months or there's an opportunity to continue a conversation. Perhaps this is an ongoing contract and you'll have quarterly reviews. You know, you can ask then, but there's not just one buyer. I typically don't work with huge companies, George, but there's always more than one buyer. And there's more than one person with whom I've come in contact during the whole process. As an example, I was recently brought in by a CRO of a company who then brought in the head of sales enablement, who then brought in the head of sales ops because we had to do metrics and figure out how to do that, who then brought in, et cetera, et cetera. Therefore, and what about all the people I met during the skill piece, right, that I teach? Every one of those people, they're my clients. So there's a lot of people. You don't always need to go back to that one person.
Joanne, you used a term that we might want to clarify, CRO.
Yeah, I'm talking in acronyms, which I tell people not to do. Chief Revenue Officer.
Okay, I was guessing that, but I wanted to be clear and I wanted our listeners to be clear too.
And it could be a VP of sales, you know, it's a senior sales leader. Right.
Yeah, whoever brings the money, who's ever most responsible for bringing in the money. Got it.
That's it.
Got it. Yep. What, Joanne, what is the motivation for a person to give you a referral? Why would they do that? What's in it for them?
They like you and trust you. So, you know, I have found 24 years I've been working this process that people do want to put good people together. It feels good. There's probably 3 to 5% of the population will never refer. That's fine. I'll go with other 95%. It's just a human factor. I haven't run across anything. Now, that gets into another topic, which is incenting for referrals. My point of view is you never incent anyone for giving you a referral. That's like a bribe. You know, how much money are you going to give me, really? Because I'm going to introduce you to the right person. So never as a reason for the referral. Now, after the fact, absolutely. Minimum handwritten thank you note with an actual stamp on the envelope. Minimum. And then you can send a little gift. You can send a gift certificate. You can make a donation to a charity. And it's just a lovely thing to say thank you. But that's after the fact.
Okay. So don't try to get the referral with a bribe, but do provide a thank you, even if it's only a handwritten note.
Well, and I'd say only is probably not a good modifier, because that's what people want. The other part of it, there's no need to do. It's our option whether we want to send a little gift. But we're human beings and we all need to be thanked. Over the years, I have sent many handwritten thank you notes. And I get this amazing response, you know, like, where did you get your stationery? Thank you so much for your note. And here's where generational things don't come into play. I clearly remember a time that I sent a note to a millennial. And I put an article in the note that I'd read that I thought she'd be interested in. The next thing I know, I'm on Twitter, and she had put a picture of the note on Twitter. And it said, look what Joanne Black sent me. And so, I mean, it's just the, that reinforced, it's just the human factor. We need to be thanked. After all, you know, if I'm not thanked for a referral, if you're not thanked, are you ever going to give one again? No. Well, I'm pretty firm about that. There was one time I heard from a client, I had referred someone, I heard from my client, they were working with her. Never heard from her. Okay, done. Nope. Not going to work with you anymore. Not going to refer you. I'm just pretty hard and fast about that. There's no reason not to thank somebody. So that's what we need to do, period. The rest is optional.
Now, it's interesting, Joanne. Getting referrals logically makes sense. However, getting the referrals is based on emotions, the emotion of trust and like and wanting to help and thanking people.
Yes, it is. If you don't have the relationship, you're not going to refer. I mean, that's it. It really is like this, George. If I say I'm going to introduce you to someone you want to meet, then I just have to be absolutely clear that you're the right person. You're going to follow up. You're going to do the right thing. You're going to have good conversations. You're not going to pitch, all of that. Because if that happens, that person's going to come back to me and said, who is this George person, right? So that's why it's so important.
Now, Joanne, I know that for people might be interested to learn more about referrals and perhaps getting their own referral system going in some way. And one way they can learn more is to get a hold of your regular newsletter, Referral Selling Insights. And before they get that, they might want to try the Referral IQ Quiz, which is a list of 14 questions to get their mind in the right place so that they know where to start building the referral system. And they can find that, I believe the place is at your website, which is aptly called nomorecoldcalling.com. And where it is at is /referral-selling-insights. So that's nomorecoldcalling.com/referral-selling-insights. And the link will be in the description for the podcast as well. So now you know what to do to get started on your referral system. My guest today is Joanne Black, America's leading authority on referral selling, reminding you that it's simple, but not easy.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.